Well, last week we were talking about an aspect of leadership that is really very important, and that is the idea of investing in other people. And that we sort of fall in the rut sometimes, especially in church. I'm not saying our church, but in the church in general. We like to curry followers, but we don't always do a good job of releasing or encouraging people to be leaders. One of the things that we have to do in order to be leaders, and it's something that we all can do, it's not something that's isolated to just some people, and that is the idea of investing in other people. We looked at a couple of passages last week. The first one was when Jesus was talking about, you know, there is no greater love for somebody else than laying down your life. And of course, he was talking about literally laying down life. But for some of us, it's that old illustration of problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps trying to crawl off the altar. And that because sometimes we let the dailiness of life get in the way, that we don't see sacrifice the same way. So we also don't see the need to invest in other people sometimes quite the same way like we would. You know, everybody would, I think everybody here would probably like to think that if there was a heroic situation that confronted them, that they would act in a heroic way. Given the moment, given the time, we know, you know, and everything's high. The reality is every day that's true. And that we, when we invest in other people, we love it when someone focuses on that and it makes us feel good. I'll be honest with you. This week I was in between classes at Savannah State. And I really didn't, unlike on Friday, I didn't have a whole lot going on in class. They were going to do some reviewing and editing of each other's paper. So it means for me, I don't have a whole lot that I'm actually engaging in during class. So in between classes, because I didn't have anything to get prepared for, I was scrolling through Facebook like many of us do, I guess, and found one of those feel-good human interest stories from Las Vegas. There was a couple who their next-door neighbor was dying with cancer, and that next-door neighbor had three kids. Now, they had five of their own. So they adopted the neighbor's three children. And so they had plenty of children in the house. They had five of their own plus the neighbor's three plus the two adults. So there was 10 people living in the house. And somebody referred them to Las Vegas's answer for what the Ty Pennington show used to be, you know, move that bus, okay, you know, that thing, okay. And essentially what they do is they came in, they looked at the house, they showed the house, they interviewed the people, and they came in and they totally renovated the house. Now, they didn't destroy it like Ty Pennington's group did, you know, and build a new house, but they renovated everything. It was really touching. I mean, it really moved me. And what happened was this family chose to invest in these other kids who were not their own kids. And what it did was it sent off then an exponential spiral of other people who decided they too would do something to invest. So somebody called the station and who called the people who did all the arranging, and then good comes out of that. The glory of God is reflected as people made choices that were sacrificial to invest in other people. So for me, that just kind of illustrated, reminded me, warmed my heart to remind me that investing in other people, no matter how small, no matter how inconspicuous it might be, has value in the kingdom of God, especially whenever we're doing it in Jesus' name. And if you look in 1 Peter, in that chapter 4, he says, okay, if you're going to serve with the power that God gives you. If you're going to speak the words that God gives you. So I see that as being a way to invest. It's all about investment. So I want to come back then to where we are in our passages. We saw Jesus say that. We looked at the second chapter of Philippians, where it said, because you've got this, because you've got that, because you've got this, because you've got that, have this unity in you, and then you need to be like Jesus, who, and then it set off onto the, because he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, became like us, even to death on a cross. And then at the end, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That was investment. And then we come to where we're going to look at. We did a Ephesians passage too. I want to kind of go on. Let's go to the Acts passage. So today, we're going to look at another relationship between someone who invested in somebody else and talk about the impact of that. So we're looking at Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 30. So, let me see. Start with John, the screen that says Saul spent several days. There we go. That's it. So Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. This is the Saul that saw Jesus on the road, who was blinded for a purpose. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God, which was freaking everybody out, by the way. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them prisoners to the chief priests? So yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. And after many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And when he came to Jerusalem, so he got out of Damascus and he made his way to Jerusalem, which is where all the church fathers, the apostles were. And when he came there, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Now that just makes sense, folks. Okay? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And he talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Now we got another chapter in this. John, go to the next, I think it's the next slide. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia. So this is kind of an interesting little connection here. Who presided at the stoning of Stephen? The guy that we were just talking about. Interesting connection. Cyprus and Antioch. They traveled that far. Telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And by the way, disciples were called Christians first there in Antioch. Now, all that. Who's the person who invested? Barnabas. What did Barnabas do? Who did he invest in? So, what did Barnabas invest into Saul? Okay, time, trust, Okay, all right, he did. Encouragement seems to be Barnabas's moniker, was being a good encourager. Barnabas pretty much let Saul trade on his reputation. Had there not been a Barnabas, we might not be configured the way we are. Just being honest. That's not a bad thing, it's just the way it is. Okay? So, there was risk involved in the investment for Barnabas. Okay? There was inconvenience engaged in this because he had to go, I mean, he had to get Saul to Tarsus. We don't know if Saul could afford that or if somebody paid. We don't know. Somehow, somebody arranged all that. Okay. Then he had to get him to Antioch. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we just kind of gloss over as we read this, is to how much actually had to be sacrificed, invested, in order for all this to happen. Would the church exist today if Barnabas had not invested in Paul? That's a trick question, I know. So, I want to look at this for a second. Because, again, we're not saying that God isn't going to do the things that God's going to do. I mean, I believe that He is. But the fact of the matter is, we forget how much, how far, how deep, how our choices to invest in others go. If you think about it, here was a pivotal opportunity that Barnabas took. He listened to the Spirit of God and acted on what he felt like God was impressing him to do. And he did it. And it has made centuries of history difference. It was one man. It's like the guy that picked up Billy Graham in the pickup truck to take him to listen to Mordecai Ham. It's the same thing. It's one little act, one little relationship, one little willingness to invest. So, who have you invested in this week? As important as all this may be, it is of no value if we do not live the message. So if the message is that investing in other people is a God-sized thing, we need to be investing in other people. Does that make sense? They're loud today. I'm letting you sit on this for a reason. Heidi. Self-destructive. I believe if you are doing what God tells you to do, that it cannot be. Sacrificial, yes. Self-destructive in that something would in some way harm your view of who you are, who God is, what your purpose in the world is. No, I don't believe that we'll ever do that. Well, yeah, I mean, this is not about creating followers. It's about creating leaders. Barnabas invested in Paul in order for Paul to invest in many other people. And we can see that in everything that we've read in this passage. Okay, I'm going to remind you of something that you probably have heard 100 times here before, but I'm going to put it in this context. Every open door is not God. Every closed door is not God. I think number one is you better have a really firm hand on what God is leading you to do. Is this a healthy relationship? Is this person just sucking resources and there is no intention for them to ever act in a healthy way? I think that's a pretty good indication of this is not what God wants you to do long term. Does that make sense? Because we're talking about leaders investing in others to become leaders. Now, I'm not saying that we give up on people, but it is not our job to meet another person's every need. That's supposedly who Jesus is supposed to be for them. And we cannot be that person. Not every need. We can't do that. That makes sense? And it's a hard thing for us to realize sometimes and to sort through this. Okay? Okay? But again, we have to listen. We have to have a relationship with God to where we are listening to God, and we look, we can see then the dynamics of what we're in. Because we're supposed to have discernment and wisdom and knowledge if we ask for it. God will give it to us. So we can look at these situations and we can see, okay, is this healthy? Is this right? Or does this person just want me to enable behavior that is not maturing them? Does that make sense? Because I do think sometimes we are supposed to realize that, okay, when you say walk away, I don't think we can emotionally separate sometimes, but we can also come to a realization that we don't have the resources to meet all this person's real needs. Well, I think, yeah. But again, the idea is we got to let the Spirit of God speak to us about what we're supposed to do. Okay. See, I believe that a lot of times individuals try to take on something that the church is supposed to be doing. And people who are needy, if they want to get through their neediness, can become more healthy, I believe. But they have to want to. Okay? But that, isn't that what Jesus did whenever he came up on people who are crippled? He said, do you want to be well? Do you want to be? Okay. So the key is, does somebody want to stay in that neediness and they're going to keep, in quote, using? Or do they want to be well and be engage in a process of healing? I think that when we're in those situations, we know. Our spirits bear witness to what we see and perceive and understand is going on with people. And we know when someone is just siphoning resources to satisfy their neediness. And we know when they genuinely are in wanting to be engaged in a process of healing. But for right now, while that is true for everybody to some degree, we're really talking about investing in someone that we can see the work of God in. Okay? Because that's what was going on with Barnabas and Saul. He knew and could see. There was witness. There was demonstration that this is a guy that's been changed. God's doing a work in his life. And he even defended him before other people. And invested of his own, again, like we said, his own reputation, his own resources, his own network, probably, of relationships, to see Saul become the guy that we knew Paul to become. Let's say I'm going to give you a hype. This is way hypothetical. Forgive me. Okay, sorry. But there's person C that. Two people who are believers have great intention in their hearts. Person C is the one that needs to be developed. Okay? There's person A and person B. Person A has a real moving from deep within him that he is supposed to invest in person C. Person B sees person C and feels guilty and desires to pour into person C out of obligation or guilt. If person B gets in the way of person A, let's say person B has this tight relationship with person C. Here's what happens. It's not what God wants. Okay? Because this is one out of obligation and not really moving of God. Okay? Well, what really the best scenario would be for B to realize that, and then for B to move so that A can do what God's moving them to do. And then we see things exponentially multiply because it's a God thing. Does that make sense? So in our situation, sometimes we have to be in touch with what God's speaking to us so that we know that we are not just doing what we do out of guilt or obligation or some motive other than God is really moving me to do this. Does that make sense? Now, it doesn't mean we do nothing. Okay? It just means we have to be very much in touch with what God's telling us to do. David. And I think John's right. And I think it's what John was pointing to a second ago is that we have to know who to invest in, because if we just invest in somebody because it's convenient or because we feel guilty about something, then what happens is we rob somebody else, perhaps, of investing in the person, and they're really the ones that need to be investing in the person. So we have to be very discerning about all of this, okay? Because, you know, relationships that are investing relationships, mentoring relationships, discipling relationships can become very, very tight. And that's a good thing. But we need to make sure that it's a God thing. Anything else on that? Okay, John, let's go to the next thing here. Here's our lessons that we need to focus on as we look at all these passages and this stuff we've talked about. First of all, the kind of joy that Jesus gives requires that you give yourself to others. So we were saved to invest the way that Jesus invested in us. To varying degrees, the way that Jesus did, because Jesus didn't heal everybody, right? How many did Jesus pick to really teach? 12 guys. Okay? Now, there was sort of an entourage that moved around with them, but those 12 were the 12 that he sat down and explained things to that he didn't always explain to everybody else. Okay? So, Jesus exercised strategy as God told him to. And we don't need to feel bad when we do the same. Does that make sense? But there's a joy in doing that he wants us to have. And we will not have that joy unless we invest in others the way he did. Investing in others means giving your life to, for others, not just part of it. Have you ever felt like you've done that? I think sometimes when we find ourselves in relationships with people that are based on affinities or interests, that we sort of hold ourselves back and we sort of only relate to them according to that thing. Okay. For instance, let me give you an example. So whenever we were in our days when Luke and Abby were doing sports stuff at school, we would hang around with the people that Luke played ball with or Abby played ball with. And we even shared things that would be faith things, but we sort of only did it in relationship to the thing that we shared. We didn't always get over that and into other wider spectrum of sharing our entire lives. We really kind of only shared a part of our lives with them, which was not wrong, but it was not really investing. Does that make sense? So it means that we're supposed to be giving our and sharing our entire lives with somebody, letting somebody see and learn from us by being with us and being a part of our lives where they get to see a larger swath of who we are. That's what Barnabas did. That's what Jesus did. All right, John. Investing in others grows the whole community of faith. So the objective is not just really developing one person. It's strategically allowing God to work through us to develop one person so that then and this big mathematical thing happens that we can't explain, which is that people grow, the body grows, and it's not just one person. It's now this one and that one and this one and that one and that one and this one and people we don't know yet. And the problem is sometimes if we hold on to our little fiefdom, we're actually keeping the Spirit in check by trying to control being leaders by having followers. Do you see what I'm saying? And by being followers and not stepping out and being leaders, we limit what God is doing. One more. So everyone's called to invest their spiritual gifts in others. Not one of us can say that we were given spiritual gifts for our own personal use. Every gift is given so that the body of Christ will be built up. All right. So as you look at these lessons, anything that is emblazoned upon your heart, something you need to say about any of these. Have you seen these to be true? Do these ring true? I guess what I'm trying to communicate is that Jesus does want us to experience joy. And I know a lot of people who walk through a life that they say is a life with Jesus, and there's not much joy there. And I believe the reason why they're not experiencing joy is because they really don't realize that what they're doing is sucking up the resources, and they are not investing in other people. And one of the ways that we can sort of perceive that going on, and listen, you and I love people that are going to say these things, so I'm not trying to be critical or judgmental of them, okay, because I don't know. But people that talk about teaching and worship as if it's a commodity to be consumed, that's where they are. They're not talking about faith and knowing Jesus and the life of Christ being in multiplied in them in order to do the things that Jesus did, which was grow the kingdom. They're talking about these are things that they enjoy, that they like. You know, faith becomes a commodity. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Something to be consumed as opposed to something that's supposed to change who we are. And more than just commercial. You know, it's more than just I listen to the right music. I listen to the right teachers. We have the right programs. You know, it's got to be more than stuff we consume. It's got to be how are we different. And then who are we investing in the name of Jesus? Whenever Paul says, I am able to be content in all situations. Yeah.
Right.
Probably one of the hardest things that I think I don't know that I necessarily have really confronted this in reality yet. Some of you have. Okay. So I'm not trying to be flippant or shallow when I say this. I'm learning to understand the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because it is not all about me. It's not all about me being well. It's not all about me being, you know, having money. It's not all about me. You know, all those things that make life easier in general. My relationship with God has got to go far beyond all that stuff. John, would you go to the next screen? So this is a reality. Investing in others gives you power in other people's lives. That's a great responsibility. Yes, it is. That's right. That's true for our literal children, but it's also true for our spiritual children. So those that God puts in our lives, you know, for us to be their spiritual parents. And sometimes they will recognize that before we do. And so whenever somebody talks like that or puts that language out, we really need to pay attention. If somebody perceives us that way, okay, I need to be listening to God, because there may be more that I need to be doing to invest in that person. So we give encouragement, we teach, we correct, which is kind of, go back there. The correcting part is the part that we struggle with, because our culture has told us that no one, well, I remember my son, whenever he was 3 years old, he said, "Tell me no. Tell me no." That makes sense when he's three, right? How many people do you know that are adults and they're saying, "Tell me no"? Yeah. Sometimes it takes a person investing in somebody to tell no, even if that's not what they want to hear. To bless, and the truth is, we do not know the ultimate result of our investment in the lives of others. We'll never know. Paul, just like Abraham, had no idea what God was going to do when he said, "Your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand on a beach." We have no idea. The dude that picked up Billy Graham had no idea on the way to go hear Mordecai Ham preach. Had no idea the number of people Billy Graham would influence in his life. We have no idea and cannot imagine what God can do with our faithfulness when he is moving us to invest in somebody else. All right. So the question is, this week, will we be asking God, "Who's somebody that I can invest in? Would you show me somebody that I can invest in?" You may already know who that person is. And it's not to say that you can't invest in them and then there's not somebody else that God wants you to invest in. Yeah, it can be both and. The question is, are we paying attention? Are we listening? Then are we obedient? Any thoughts as we close it here? Okay. Russell, would you close us?